Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, popcorn junkies. This is the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. I went and saw Dark Phoenix before it was ripped from the theaters. This is the fourth installment in the newest X-Men franchise, and stars the same cast of characters, including James McAvoy as Charles Xavier, Michael Fassbender as Magneto, Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique, although she's not called Mystique in this movie, she's only called Raven, Nicholas Holt as Beast, and Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. This was directed by Simon Kinberg, who was primarily a producer and writer for the X-Men franchise. This is his directorial debut. Now, when the trailer for Dark Phoenix hit theaters, fans were dumping on this film because that trailer was bad. And I'm not going to lie, that trailer was actually bad. And for a while, I thought I might not even bother seeing this film in the theaters. I really liked X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past, but I was unimpressed with Apocalypse. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even remember what had happened in Apocalypse until I had sat down for this movie and watched the first 10 minutes. Then things started to come back. That movie to me was incredibly forgettable, so I didn't even know if I was actually going to go to the movie theater to watch this one. But I did, because I'm a junkie. So is this movie as bad as the trailer made it out to be? Well, yes and no. More on that in a little bit. First, your plot. It's 10 years after the events in Apocalypse, and the X-Men are actually beloved by America now. They have a hotline to the White House and everything. And the president calls Professor X so the X-Men can help save a group of astronauts who are stuck in space dealing with solar flares. That's what they keep calling this thing, solar flares. So Charles sends his star group of X-Men up in the X-Jet to save the astronauts. Apparently they don't need spacesuits or depressurization or anything. They just fly up in the X-Jet, which begs the question, if this jet can just go into space, why doesn't Charles just give it to NASA? I guess he doesn't love the government that much. Anyway, in the middle of this rescue operation, the solar flare, which is actually a cosmic force, possesses Jean Grey and gives her phenomenal cosmic powers. And if she loses control of those powers, bad things happen. Do you want to know how we know this? Because she tells it to us, like, four times. When I lose control, bad things happen. If I lose control, bad things will happen again. Why? Why do bad things keep happening? Yeah, it's like that. Naturally, she loses control during a party at the mansion, where we get to see Dazzler for like 10 seconds, and she goes on a rampage. And soon there are four groups hunting Jean Grey. A group of mutants led by Charles Xavier who want to save her, a group of mutants led by Magneto who want to kill her, the US government who want to put her in mutant prison, and a group of aliens led by Jessica Chastain as Vuk, who want her to alter the ego structure of the Earth so it's habitable for whatever life forms they see fit to deposit on it. Yeah, they basically want her to be the Genesis device. And that is your plot. So let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this movie. First, the good. This movie is not as terrible as some people would lead you to believe. It's not a great movie, but it's not a terrible one. And the main reason for that is I like these characters, and I like the actors who portray these characters, with two notable exceptions, more on that later. In particular, McAvoy and Fassbender are excellent. Fassbender looks a little weary of the part, but that actually lends itself to Magneto's character, so his weariness creates a better performance. Sophie Turner is fine as Jean Grey. Yes, she is a bit whiny, but that character has always been a tiny bit whiny to me. And here she's at least sympathetic for the most part. I love Nicholas Holt as Beast. I've never been a fan of the Beast that goes back and forth between human and Beast, but he's very good in this part. The actors here are all, for the most part, really good. There are one or two effect set pieces that are also really fantastically done. The car crash at the beginning of the film with a young Jean Grey was kind of horrific. I really liked that the weapon system of the X-Jet is specifically for Cyclops' eyes. He just looks into a viewfinder and opens his eyes. That's actually really neat. I don't know if that's in the comic books, but that's an actual good addition to this film. The makeup for Beast and Nightcrawler is also very good. There's a lot of little tiny good bits in this film. Unfortunately, all those good bits are in a pretty bad film, which brings us to the bad. The directing here is not good. I recognize that this is Simon Kinberg's first feature film. Maybe they shouldn't have given him a $200 million film to direct for his first film, but I understand their reasoning. Marvel has a history of taking independent directors who make low-budget films and giving them blockbuster movies to direct, and for the most part, it has worked in their favor. Here, they're taking a novice director, not someone who has directed smaller films, and given him this huge big budget film to do, and it didn't work. Most of the shots here, when we're dealing with just characters, are very static. You get a lot of just front-on, face-the-camera shots. And after a while, it was coming across as very amateurish. Not to mention, I kept getting distracted by how perfect Sophie Turner's makeup was. No matter where she was or what she was doing, her makeup was perfect. If she's crying in an alley in the rain, her makeup's perfect. If she's blowing up buildings, her makeup's perfect, because you're getting so many close-up shots of her face. All I could think of is maybe it's mutant ability, maybe it's Maybelline. Also, you get some nice special effects pieces, but most of the big special effects show pieces in this film are done in the dark. For a movie like Brightburn, which I reviewed a couple weeks ago, that's okay. That had a $7 million budget. I'm not expecting them to have pristine special effects, and I expect them to do a lot of it in the dark or in the rain to try and hide some of the defaults. This movie had a $200 million budget. This should have effects in the daylight. The car crash at the beginning, one of the ones that I actually enjoyed, was in the daylight, and you can see what was happening. The train sequence in the third act of this film is done at night and is very chaotic, and you can't see a whole lot of what is going on. And to me, for a film with a budget of this size, that's irritating. I should be able to see your budget on the screen, and here I wasn't seeing the budget on the screen. So much of this movie just seems thrown together. Little things like their uniforms don't seem to fit right. It's like they bought them off the rack. There's a scene at the end of the film where Beast has a photo of Mystique on, or Raven, sorry. They don't call her Mystique in this film. They only call her Raven. Raven on his desk. And it's not a nice glamour shot or anything. It's just, it's a still from earlier in the film. And it's a still that is right before a battle, so she's got this really worried look on her face. It's like Beast pulled out his camera in the middle of a battle and went, click! Yeah, honey, I had to take the picture. You just looked so darn pretty. Little things like that are just like, where did your budget go? Also, don't expect some of these X-Men to have a whole lot to do, because they don't. Cyclops spends the third act of this film dragging Charles around because he's without his wheelchair. Quicksilver's gone in an instant, which I suppose is apropos for that character. Storm is not given a whole lot to do. There's this really nice scene with Nightcrawler where he loses his religion, and that was nice. I would have liked to have seen more of Nightcrawler because his makeup was excellent. Genosha is here because that's where Jean Grey finds Magneto, but they don't name it. It's not called Genosha. I don't think they had the rights to say that name. Magneto has two henchmen who, for the life of me, I don't think were named in the entire film. There's sentient dreadlock guy and secondary Asian character. Seriously, that's how I was thinking of them in my head, because I don't think they were named. I really wish I had known the name of the sentient dreadlock guy, because having sentient dreadlocks is kind of a cool thing. There's just not enough story here for all of these characters, and unfortunately they threw aliens into the mixture, and they're completely ineffective. I'm not even certain what their point was, because they want Jean to recreate the ecosystem of Earth, but they seem to be doing fine in our atmosphere, so I'm not certain why she would have to change anything. So all you have is Jessica Chastain with bleach blonde hair, walking around in uncomfortable shoes, trying to be menacing, and it doesn't really work. If they had just made Jean the bad guy, if they had Brightburned her and made her evil, this might have been an interesting film. They didn't go that far. They couldn't go that far. As for the ugly, there is one performance that did stand out that I really just did not like, and that was Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique slash Raven. It is obvious Jennifer Lawrence did not want to be in this film. I get that she's sick and tired of playing Mystique. I get that it's long hours in the makeup chair. I get that she has an Oscar sitting on her mantelpiece. But you know what? If you don't want to do sequels, it's probably best not to sign up for a superhero film, particularly one where your character is involved in a whole lot of makeup. Her makeup in this film is horrible, and you get close-ups of it because he likes that close-up. All that nice feathering that was done in the earlier films is gone. Everything's just painted on her face. It's obvious she did not want to sit for the appliques. The wig they have on her is just horrible. This whole character is just done a disservice in this film. And a lot of it is because Jennifer Lawrence just looks pissed that she has to be in the film. Final thoughts. Is this movie as bad as everyone's saying? It's not a terrible, terrible film. Any film that is going to give me Beast and Nightcrawler is not going to be a terrible, terrible film because I love those characters. And they are actually portrayed very well here. But it's not a great film. This is kind of on par with Solo. It gave me a lot of characters I really wanted to see, and it wasn't a terrible film, but I'm probably not going to revisit this one again. Much like Apocalypse, I haven't rewatched that one, and I probably won't rewatch this one. It's just kind of a, okay way to spend 2 hours. This is a comic book movie, so it gets a comic book rating. I'm giving Dark Phoenix a 3.5. Very good minus. And now spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
So I harped a bit about Jennifer Lawrence and her performance. She's not in the film a whole lot. She actually dies quite early on. Yeah, they killed off Mystique, so I guess she can stop whining about having to be in X-Men films now. And that is the catalyst for Magneto and, ultimately, Beast to go after Jean in an effort to kill her. I wish this had been the focal point of the movie. They could have done completely without the aliens and just had it be mutant against the government with Jean in the middle being the bad guy. That would have made a very interesting film. The cartoon series is probably the only series that has done Dark Phoenix any sort of justice. The other X-Men franchise did it horribly. This one does it horribly. It's sad that the character of Dark Phoenix just doesn't get any sort of proper attention. I did find it kind of funny that at the beginning of this film, Charles Xavier is winning, like, a Medal of Freedom from the president, and not 2 days later, the government is hunting him down as a wanted criminal because Jean Grey went crazy. I wish they had explored the way the government is wanting to be friends with the X-Men, but not trusting them in the slightest a bit more. The government here is just a side character that occasionally comes in and blows stuff up, or is blown up in the case of going against Jean Grey, that she just blows them up. I found it very interesting that the government in this franchise has an icebox where they house mutants, and they have the collars from Deadpool that render their mutant abilities null. So they have actually combined the Deadpool and X-Men franchise universes, which is actually kind of neat, but it's not explored in the slightest in this film. It's just, oh yeah, we have these collars, and oh yeah, you're going to this mutant housing facility. They don't call it the icebox, I don't think. But none of that is really explored in favor of giving time to these aliens that accomplish absolutely nothing. This just seems like a very wasted opportunity here. Final note, there is one laugh out loud moment in this movie, and I'm gonna give it to you here. Jean Grey goes to Genosha to speak to Magneto, and the US Army comes in, and they come in helicopters. And there's a moment where Jean Grey is trying to rip these choppers apart, and Magneto is trying to keep them together, and they're kind of fighting each other with magnetic ability or whatever. And Magneto is pulling ahead, and he turns to the army people on the ground and yells, "Get to the chopper!" And I don't know if that was deliberate, but I laughed out loud because Magneto just predatored the hell out of that movie. I don't think it was deliberate, but it was so, so funny. And on that note, this is the Cinemistress signing off. I guess I'll pull out my old X-Men VHS cartoons where they did things right.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.